This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
All the honor and all the glory to you, Father, Creator of heaven and earth. We're singing and we're reading the words, and we can see your love again by sending your Son, so that we can have a relationship with you which is going to last forever and ever. Father, then there are not enough words, there are not enough songs which can describe it, your love. And I pray, Father, that this afternoon that we can just see a little bit again of that love for you, from you for us, Father, that we can experience that again, and that we can focus on it, Father. That the things which happened earlier today or this week, Father, that it's not going to distract us. That we can bind it in the name of Jesus Christ with the authority what we've got in his name. That our minds can be focused on what you want to share with us this afternoon, Father. Thank you for your love. Thank you for who you are. And thank you that we can worship you as God. That you give that privilege to us that we can come to you. All honor and all glory to you, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. This week, somebody lost his keys and he couldn't get into his house anymore. And he couldn't sleep where he would like to sleep. So then he had to ask the landlord, who's the owner of the house, and he had to ask him and said, "Don't you have a spare key that I can get access to the house, that I can sleep in the house?" And although, and the person's name is Urbanus, although Urbanus had authority over that room that he had to go to the person who had the final authority over the house and ask them, and say, "Can I have the keys? Because I would like to sleep in my own bed." Otherwise, he would have slept most probably with us. I'm not quite sure. But yes, he had to ask. And then the person who had the final authority could give him the keys. And he could get access to his house again. And all of us have got keys. And if you're going to empty your pockets, most of you have got keys with you. Could be for your office, could be for your work, could be for your car, could even be for your bicycle, it could be for other places as well, where you've got an authority, where you can decide if you're going to open it up or if you can decide if you're going to close it down. It's your decision because it's your authority. Sometimes you've got to, if it is a work or a shop or something like that, you've got to go and you've got to open up. That is included in your job description. Otherwise, the next day you won't have a job anymore. But all of us have got that authority. So having keys which are given to us to open up or to close is nothing new. And this is where the Lord wants to speak to us about the key of David. And the first one what I want to speak about is where Jesus is speaking to Peter about keys. Jesus is speaking to his disciples and he's asking them. And he said, "What do the people say? Who am I?" And then they've got different answers. And then he asked, "But who do you say am I?" And then Peter says, "But you are Christ, Son of the living God." And then Jesus says to him, "But that the Lord revealed it to you." And then he is saying something to him. He says to him, "And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." And I first want to focus on that first part. "I will give you the keys of kingdom of heaven." So Jesus is giving him the keys which he can use, which he can open up or which he can close. And what Peter is doing with those keys of the kingdom of heaven, the keys of the gospel, he's using that. He's opening up the gospel. And he's not only opening up to the Jews, what we can read in Acts 2 verses 14 where it says, "But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, 'Men of Judah and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and hear my words.'" There he's talking to the Jews. So he's opening up to the Jews, and he says to the Jews, listen, I've got a message for you. So he's with the keys. Peter is using it over there, but not only for the Jews. He's doing exactly the same for the Gentiles. Acts 10, 34 and 45. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality. God doesn't matter if it is Jew or if it is a Gentile. And then later on, and those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit has been poured out on the Gentiles also. Not limited to the Jews, but also poured out to the Gentiles. So Peter's using the keys which has been given, what Jesus gave to him. He used the keys at a later stage, when he was filled with the Holy Spirit. The second part is a little bit more interesting. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosened in heaven. And on this one, there are quite a few different interpretations. I think people have wrote books about it, and there are different ways of interpreting it. The old Jewish tradition says that the people with knowledge, they basically had the authority that they could bind and they could loosen. They could disapprove or approve what somebody has been saying according to the law. So in a certain way, they had an authority to judge. This is what the old Jewish people were thinking, and which was used to them, and they thought that this should be applied to the new way of thinking as well. There's also a view which says that opening up and closing down, of opening up and loosening, has only been given to Peter and all the popes after that. I'm not going to elaborate on that one. And then there's also a view which says it was Peter and the apostles. It's only those people who got that authority that they can bind and that they can loosen. And they've done it afterwards where things have changed. The circumcision has been taken away. They didn't have the Sabbath, but they had church on Sunday. So there were a few things which were changed, and where they say, this is coming from that. There are different views, like I said. The last one what I'm going to talk about is reflecting spiritual warfare. And I feel more at home with this one, where I feel that an authority has been given to us, that we can use that authority. When we started with the sermon as well, I binded the enemy, that the enemy is not going to distract us, because we've got that authority and we can use it. Mark 3, verse 27 is also helping us a little bit with that binding. No one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man, and then he will plunder the house. And the word bind, which has been used in when Peter was Jesus spoke to Peter, is exactly the same bind which has been used over here with the strong man, which is coming from the Greek word deo, and it's to bind. It's basically to tie up, to knit, so that it cannot move anymore. And if we really want to read that about authority, what we've got about the power of the enemy, in Luke 10, verses 19 and 20 is explanatory of explaining himself. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemies. We haven't got power over the enemy, but over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. But then Jesus is saying to them, nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, but that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. And that's the most important thing, what we always have got to keep in mind, that the person is going to become saved is more important as what we're going to send out demons. And in practice, we know it's actually better that a person first gets saved before you're going to send out demons, because otherwise you're cleaning the place and then there are more coming back again. I'm taking now a verse out of the Old Testament, which is also talking about the keys. And that one is in the prophet Isaiah, chapter 22. And 22 is going about that God is dissatisfied with what is happening in Jerusalem and in Judea. And Isaiah is agreeing with that, because the place is actually not what it should be. Isaiah shares the feeling that the people were destroying themselves. They were too far from God for too long. If you take a look around us in Utrecht over here, or we take a look around us here in the Netherlands or in West Europe, I think we more or less can agree with that. That if we take a look at it, we say, but the people have been too far from God too long. One or two generations back, people went more to the church, were more linked up with God, but now they've taken the decision that they want to go their own way. There's a similarity between the status of Jerusalem at that time and as what we're experiencing at the moment in this world. Because what are they doing? Where are they spending their time? Let's read what Isaiah 22:13 is saying us. But instead, joy and gladness. So they were happy. They were happy over there in Jerusalem. Slaying oven and killing sheep. My wife will like it. Sheep meat. It's good. Eating meat and drinking wine. That's what they were busy with. Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. They were not concerned about tomorrow. They didn't have a hope for tomorrow. They were just thinking, we've got to eat and drink today, and tomorrow we will maybe die. That was the status of what the people were experiencing at that time in Jerusalem. And we more or less can say we are experiencing the same over here in Utrecht. It's the one festivity to the other festivity to the other festivity where people are eating, where people are drinking. I'm not talking about drugs or anything like that. That's even has got to be added to it as well. God is not there because there's no hope. It's just once they finish with the festivity, the only thing what the next day what they can remember is they've got a headache from the previous day. But then they go to the next festivity and they're enjoying the time over there. And then God is intervening over there. And God is replacing a corrupt Shebna, who was in control over there, and he replaces him with the Eliakim, a godly ruler. And it's actually the same as what God has been doing with Jesus. The world is broken, and then God is sending Jesus to save the world. Isaiah 22:20-22. Then it shall be in that day that I will call my servant Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah. This is God speaking. So if God is saying, my servant, then it's a person who's obeying and listening to God. It's not a random person who hasn't got a relationship with God. That I will call my servant Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah. I will clothe him with a robe. We are aware of it, that the robe is giving you a status. And I will give him a rope. I will clothe him with your rope and strengthen him with your belt. And I will commit your responsibilities into his hands. And he will be a father of the inhabitants of Jerusalem and then the house of Judea. And then the keys are coming. The key of the house of David I will lay on his shoulder. So he shall open and no one shall shut. And he shall shut and no one shall open. This is a very important verse. What God is saying over here, that he is giving that authority to that person, his servant Eliakim, that he is going to get the status, the authority in Jerusalem, in Judea, in his place, and that he is going to have influence over there as well. The key on his shoulder, it's not just a badge what you've got and then you've got a certain status. You've got delegated authority from God. In that time, they had keys, and the keys were quite large. So the keys wasn't a small key what you can put in your pocket, but it was sometimes quite a big key, a heavy key, what you had to put on your shoulder to carry the key. And that's why God is saying over here, the key of the house of David, I will lay on his shoulder, so he shall open, and no one shall shut, and he shall shut, and no one shall open. The same key of David we find back again in the Revelations 3, verses 7 to 8, where Jesus is speaking then to John. And the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, and it's actually so awesome that if we take a look at the seven different churches over there, that each and every church has got an angel. And I'm not quite sure, I haven't asked God yet, but I think our church has got an angel as well. So if you're walking in over here, or if you're worshipping, or if you get a vision of an angel, then it's the angel of Shofar Utrecht. And the angel of the church in Philadelphia writes, these things say, he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. I know your works. See, I've set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. For you have little strength, have kept my words, and have not denied my name. Jesus has got all the authority. He has the key of David. He has got the key of the New Jerusalem. He has got the key of heaven. For him, when he's coming back, when he's going to be the judge, he's going to decide who is going to go to heaven and who's not going to go to heaven. This is the ultimate authority what we can find, and that is what Jesus has got. But God also wants to give us authority. I just want to add something over there. When I was reading this Church of Philadelphia, I felt this is the Church of Shofar Utrecht. And when I was reading it, I became a little bit emotional, because God is saying, I know your works. I've set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. For you have little strength. We're only a few people over here. But you've kept my word. You've not denied my name. And that has got to be continuously with us, that we will always see God's face, that we always want to do what God wants us to do, that we're not going to deny his name, that we're not going to do certain things because that's going to be more acceptable for the people who are going to visit over here. Another type of coffee or less or more cake or something like that, that's not what it is about. We want to listen what God is telling us to do. And I really feel that God is saying to us, he's actually complimenting us over there. You've got little strength, but you're following me. And I really want to urge all of us that we will continue doing that, that we will follow God where he is going to lead us. God wants to give us authority. If God can create heaven and earth, he can change the whole world in one clip of a finger. But he wants to work through us, and he wants to give us authority. But if we're not going to take up the authority, then nothing is going to happen. So we've got to do what God is asking us to do. One of those guys who also got authority from God, his name was Moses. Moses is one of the descendants from Jacob, whose family all went to Egypt. He was raised in the palace of the Pharaoh. He killed an Egyptian when he wanted to help his people. Then he fled out of Egypt. He got a wife over there, a father-in-law, Jethro, and he looked after his sheep. He was a shepherd. This is what he was doing. But then he had that burning bush experience. He experienced the presence of God. And then God is revealing to him. He heard the prayers of the people in Egypt, and he reacted on it. And I said, I've got a plan for them. I want to do something. And God could have done it himself, but he wants to work through a person. And then he takes Moses, a murderer. And nowadays, if you want to get a certain position, and if you've got this type of criminal record, you're most probably not going to get a job somewhere. But Moses was appointed to take a whole nation out of Egypt. And God is speaking to him. So God said to him, what is in your hand? And Moses says, a rod. And then the Lord told him, throw the rod on the floor. The rod became a serpent and he could pick it up again. He told him, put your hand into your bosom. It came out white as leprosy. He put it back again and it was healed again. So God gave him the miracles, showing him, but I'm serious with you. I want to use you. And then Moses starts. He's got the one objection after the other objection. This interview didn't go that well between God and Moses, because Moses wasn't interested in the job, but God wanted to use him for that job. Moses says, no, but I'm not speaking well. And God has got a solution for that. And at the final end, Moses even said, but please send somebody else. Send somebody else to take up the authority and get the Israelites out of Egypt. But God doesn't want to do it. He wants to use Moses. So if you sometimes get an instruction from God and you think you're not qualified for that, if it's from God, he will qualify and he will equip you for that. No, you don't have to be a murderer first. God can use you. God can use each and every one of us. And that's the awesome example what we've got here from Moses, who got that authority to do what he had to do. Exodus 4:15, because God is helping to solve the problems what Moses had. And then he says, now you shall speak to him, which means it's Aaron, his brother, and put the words in his mouth. So Aaron is going to speak on his behalf. So that objection what he had, that he couldn't speak well, has been solved now. And I will be with your mouth and with his mouth, and I will teach you what you shall do. So God is not just sending Moses, but he says, I will tell you step by step what you've got to do. And at the moment with Nijmegen, God is working exactly the same. Step by step, he's telling us what to do. We don't know what, we don't know where, we don't know when. Next thing, 21st of December, we will go, we will proclaim, and declare God's kingdom in Nijmegen. That the spiritual realm, that we're going to speak into it, that we open up that space, that God's kingdom can come over there. And God is also saying to him, and you shall take this rod in your hand, with which you shall do signs. After Moses had heard all those things, and when God said, okay, I'm not going to take those objections into consideration, you still have got to go. Then Moses had the final end, he becomes obedient. He's doing what God wants him to do. And then something is changing. Can have a look at the next verse, Exodus 4, verses 20. Then Moses took his wife and his sons and set them on a donkey. And they returned to the land of Egypt. And Moses took the rod of God in his hand. Can you see what has changed? The rod. Beforehand, God asked him and said, what do you have in your hand? And he said, a rod. And when we read in this verse over here, Moses took the rod of God in his hand. Something has changed. Which was a normal thing, suddenly became a godly thing. And if we take a look at the word rod, is actually so awesome. What is all built into it? It's coming from the Greek word matao. And first of all, it's a branch. It's extending. It's something which is going to become more. It also says that it is a tribe. Moses had to take the tribe of Jacob out of Egypt. It is a rod. And a rod we know. The rod is used. If somebody has done something wrong, you can use it. You can use it on sheep and then stop over there. You can use it also as a scepter for ruling. We see it many times that the ones we see, the rods are more type of gold. But it's also used for that. It's also that you can throw with it as a lance, that you can also do with a rod. But it also that you can walk with it, that it is a support for you, that you can rely on it. So those words are all built in that rod. And what we can see over here is that something very basic God is taking. And he's saying to Moses, use this one, because I'm going to use this rod now for making changes in Egypt. Because the rod was used for miracles. And the rod was used for the Egyptian people to show that God is above all. It was showed for the Israelites that they can rely on God for what he is doing. And it's also to show the Pharaoh, to convince the Pharaoh that he had to let the Israelites go. That he shouldn't keep them over there. And then the miracles happened. Moses used that one, the rod, the basic rod, which became a godly rod, to split up the sea. You can go on internet, you can Google, you can try and find if you can find a rod where you can split the sea. You most probably won't find it. Because God is not involved. If a miracle has got to happen, then we can go to God. And that can happen. And the water out of the rock. We sometimes have got too much water here in the Netherlands, but in other places of the world, there's not enough water. Again, you can go, and you can go even on Black Friday, but you won't find a rod where you can hit a rock and that water will come out. It doesn't happen. But God is taking a normal rod, a normal thing, and through that, making it godly, that a miracle can happen. Going back again to the keys of David, God has put the keys of David around the shoulders of Eliakim. Because Eliakim was a servant of God. And he was a servant of God in Jerusalem. And he was going to get authority over there. Which means that he was going to be in control over Jerusalem. Jesus also gave Peter the keys to get authority over the gospel. And Peter shared it to the Jewish and to the Gentiles. And Jesus, who's got the key of David, what we could read in Revelations, he's got the keys of the New Jerusalem. He's encouraging us to continue with the work, what I just now said, as Shofar Utrecht. And God is going to reward us for our faithfulness and his power and provision. If we're going to carry on with sharing the gospel, but not only sharing the gospel, but also living it out, that we show the people around of who God actually is. At this stage, I would like to that we're going to do communion, and then I'm going to have a type of altar call afterwards, which is linked up to this keys and to the rod. Sometimes I do not understand it, but if God is telling us, then I'm just going to be obedient and I want to do it. God gave us bread and he gave us wine. But God wants to give us two other things this afternoon. You can stand now. God wants to give us two things. He wants to give us keys. And as what we received, with the one hand, the symbol of the bread, we're going to receive the symbol of the keys. If you're prepared for that. And with the other hand, we got the wine. And God wants to give us a rod this afternoon. He wants to give us a rod and he wants to give us keys. He wants to give us keys so that we can go and that we can open up. Before we came to the Netherlands, the Lord spoke to us in South Africa and the Lord says, I'm giving you the keys of Utrecht. And it didn't make much sense to me. The only thing is that at a certain time we had a leather key ring, a key holder, where keys could be attached. We were singing it this afternoon again. Open up the gates, open up the gates. Because we are the keys. When we go to Nijmegen, we are the keys who are going to open up. What the Lord wants us to open up over there. Because we want to be obedient. God is going to give us the keys so that they can be used. And that we can be used where God wants to use us in a spiritual part. It's not that you're going to get a physical key and you're going to open up, but it's a spiritual key. And that you're going to speak. The place where you are, town where you are, if you go back to the place where you are coming from, originating from, that you can go there and that you can speak it in. That it can open up, that the gospel can be spread over there. The second one is the rod. And what I feel God is saying over there, there's something basic in your life. For Moses, it was a rod. He was walking around with that rod for how many years? And maybe he got each and every year a new one, or each and every second year is what we get a new phone each and every second year, I don't know. But Moses was walking with that rod, and he was using that rod, and it was so simple. But it was a rod, and it became a godly rod. And I feel that God wants to give us something which is so basic for you, but which is different for each and every one of us, but which is going to create an opportunity that God can flow through us, that a miracle can happen. For Renee, it's maybe a shoe. She needed a shoe. Went to the shoe shop, spoke to a lady who gave her heart to Jesus. I don't know what's happening. It's maybe a pen what you've got. It starts a conversation. A miracle is happening. I don't know. It could be your car that you're giving a lift to somebody. You start a conversation. You share the gospel. I don't know what is happening. But I feel that God wants to give us, as what he's giving, the bread, and he's giving the wine. God wants to give us the keys, and he wants to give us the rod. What I'm asking you to do, and if you say, yes, Lord, please work through me. Yes, you can have a lot of objections, as what Moses most probably had as well. But God will never give you something which you cannot do. He will always equip you for that. 15 years back, you could have said to me, you're going to stand in front of a congregation. I would have said, pass, you've got the wrong Derk-Jan. They are not married Derk-Jans, but I would have said most probably, but I'm standing over here because I'm over here because God is giving me things what I've got to say over here. So I'm inviting each and every one, open up your hands. If you want to receive the keys and if you want to receive the rod, if you want to be used by God as what Moses has been used by God, if you want to receive the keys, what has been given to Peter as well, to open up the gospel, that can also work through you. And then I'm going to pray. So if you feel free and if you say, yes, God has got an appointment with me this afternoon, I want to receive from God, hold up your hands. Heavenly Father, you can see these hands. Hands who are ready to receive. Hands who are open. And Father, in the Spirit, I pray that you're going to place keys in the one hand. And that the people will receive the keys, not to put them away, but to use them so that the gospel can be opened up. That the gospel can be shared with other people. Father, you also see the other hand. And I'm praying, Father, that you're going to put a rod in the other hand. The rod is going to be different for each and every person. But it's something so nearly common, I can say. But it's going to be used for your kingdom, Father. Something where we are so used to. But it turns around into a godly thing. Father, I pray for these two things to be put into the people's hands. We've got their hands out at the moment and open to receive. And Father, then I speak a blessing over these hands. I speak a blessing over the keys and I speak a blessing over the rods. That these can be used for your kingdom. In Utrecht, in the Netherlands, in Nijmegen, any place, all over the world, whatever you place us, Father, that your kingdom can come. I speak a blessing over these keys. I speak a blessing over these rods, that they are going to be a blessing for other people. In the name of Jesus. Amen. We're now going to sing the last song. And the last invitation, what I've got, what ministry is concerned. If your hand is still closed, you maybe have already received the keys and the rod, but you still feel that your hand is closed because you cannot really give 100% because you feel there's something between you and God which is not right at the moment, then in the period what we're going to sing this last song, I'm inviting you to come forward. The small group leaders will also come forward that we can pray along with you. God wants to use us. God wants to equip us. God wants to have a relationship with us. And we as Shofar Utrecht, we are small, but we want to do what God is telling us to do. Again, if you feel your hand is closed and it's difficult for you to receive because there's something between you and God which you know has got to be sorted, don't go. Sort it out over here. Come, bring it to God. We pray in agreement with you.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.